Hey, Michael. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, sir. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I know you've been suffering a little bit with the flu, so if we hear coughing or sneezing or general hacking of the lungs, I hope our listeners forgive us. But I have
a mute button.
Okay, all right. You're allowed. It's okay. We will.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, all right. I've got our friend Julio here.
Hello.
Julio Ojeda Zapata from, technology pundit all around. He writes regularly for his role as technology reporter for St. Paul Pioneer Press. He appears haphazardly on on Twit this week in tech. He's kind of all over the place. Also, author of the fine book "iPad Means Business," which is sitting right behind me. I just glanced back at it just now. Welcome, Julio.
Oh, thank you. It's always an honor.
Thank you. So Mike, we had Julio on a while back. It's been a little while, but he listens. He's like one of the three people that listen regularly to this podcast.
Yeah, he does, and he sends us lots of emails.
Yeah.
Every episode, Julio's got some comment.
Yeah, I've noted before how I have a ritual. I'm the dishwasher in my household. I don't want anybody else to wash the dishes because that's my podcast time. That's when I'm washing the dishes, and Patrick Rohn's mellifluous voice is flowing through the earbuds into my ears, and I am completely serene.
I wish I could say the same.
Yeah.
We were talking about Twitter stuff a few episodes ago, and Julio jumped on the email almost immediately to say, I have so much more to talk about here, and I want to.
I think I jumped on the Twitter, actually.
Well, yeah, I think you did. Yeah. And I was like, hey, no problem. You can stop by any time. Mikasa Sukasa. So I wanted to, first of all, one of the things we talked about before, and that I really wanted to kind of find out more from you about is, you used to be really Twitter-focused, but recently, especially since the birth of Google+, I've noticed you on Google+ a lot, posting really great stuff there. I do a lot of lurking there. I haven't really gotten any sort of game on there, but that's well, I'll save that for later. But you really seem to have grasped it, and you said that you're kind of been branching out a lot more into social networking and kind of taking a more holistic approach. So I want to find out kind of why, what's driving that.
Well, let me start by telling you what my attitude about this was before.
Okay.
In the past, I was very Twitter focused, and the other logical alternative was Facebook. And the reason I was Twitter focused is because I admired the elegance, the simplicity, the minimalism of Twitter, and felt completely turned off by the complexity of Facebook. Facebook still has that problem. They keep layering on new features, and sometimes it's just impossible to figure out how to set things up and how it works and how to do things on Facebook. It just drives me nuts. It gives me a massive headache. Facebook still does. And Facebook, I should also say, Facebook is sometimes I regard it with deep suspicion because Facebook has a history of playing fast and loose with users' privacy.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it seems like every time they roll out a new feature or a new design of Facebook, they also tend to change everyone's privacy settings to new defaults.
Yeah, there's always a privacy emergency of some sort every time they create a new feature. And I don't think this is completely accidental. And as a there's something happening with Facebook right now. Facebook is very actively wooing, very actively recruiting journalists. There's a guy at Facebook whose job it is to curry favor with journalists and convince journalists to come on Facebook and use Facebook as a journalism tool. And he was in the Twin Cities, and he had this gathering at a Minnesota Public Radio, and it was this very jolly gathering where journalists were sitting in this room, and they were having this wonderful, warm, fuzzy time with Facebook. And I was sitting there going, are you kidding me? How come nobody's asking any hard questions? John Gordon of NPR was the only one who asked a hard question.
That's not surprising to me.
And I wrote this very critical post of journalists being a little too trusting of Facebook. And this Facebook guy, Facebook journalism guy who was there giving that speech, he was very taken aback because he's apparently not used to being like confronted and questioned. Hmm. And we had this very testy exchange, ironically, on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, and I would argue it's not just journalists themselves as individuals and such, but I see an increasing number of news organizations, newspapers especially, that are basically turning over their comment sections to Facebook, right?
Pioneer Press has done that.
Yeah, and Pioneer Press has done that, right? So that, you know, basically the commentary on articles and things like that all happen within Facebook, require a Facebook account, you sign in with Facebook, and
it was via that very mechanism that this guy and I had our testy exchange.
Gotcha. So and is that also part of this guy's job, is not just wooing journalists but also wooing kind of news organizations?
Yeah, his job is to convince news organizations to use Facebook as their journalism tool. So I come at Facebook with a lot of suspicion, a lot of mistrust, a lot of skepticism. But at the same time, it is slowly dawning on me. We're just talking about Facebook here. It's slowly dawning on me that Facebook, because of some recent changes that Facebook made, is increasingly becoming a useful tool for me as a journalist. One of the key changes being now people can follow other people. What I mean by that is, in the past, you had to be friended. People had to friend each other in order for any communication to be possible. And that's still possible, but there's this whole separate mechanism where people, like Julio the tech writer, they can follow Julio the tech writer the same way they would follow me on Twitter. I don't have to friend them. They don't have to friend me. They just follow me. I turn on, I flip a switch in my Twitter account that allows people to quote-unquote follow me, and then they can follow me the same way they follow me on Twitter or Google Plus. Okay. Right. So in recent weeks, I've slowly been building up my Facebook followers up to 300 or something now.
Wow.
And that means Facebook is a very different environment for me now, because I now regard it as a way to speak to people that aren't necessarily relatives or friends, or just people that are interested in what I have to say. So my Facebook account has been a way for me to post tech stuff.
Okay.
It wasn't really that in the past. The other big change on Facebook is the timeline. Okay. The timeline is essentially is a complete revamping of your profile page.
Right.
It's called the timeline because you see a chronology, and as you navigate into the past, you see everything you did on Facebook. It's all there.
Okay.
But the reason the timeline appeals to me in a journalistic sense is because when you look at it, it's like it has become very blog-like. Very almost newspaper-like. Okay. Like when I post a summary of a Pioneer Press article that I wrote and then link to it, you know, there's the automatic linking structure.
Right.
And the way it's arrayed on the page, it's very much like a blog.
It's similar in layout and
yes,
and feel.
The layout is more newspapery, more magazine-y. Right. And so that
and now that's that new kind of timeline homepage profile feature that they not all users have it yet, right?
It hasn't been rolled out to the public. If you go to Mashable, there's a somewhat convoluted procedure for activating it.
Okay.
Most people don't have it yet. I did it because I jumped through a bunch of complicated hoops to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did because I really like it. They give you the option to put a really large header image.
Yeah.
Again, it's very blog-like.
Right.
Your avatar's there. Right. I like it. I really like it. I'm surprised. Because of my disdain for Facebook traditionally, I'm surprised how much I like this. And so Facebook has become... I'm spending as much time on Facebook lately as I am on Twitter, which surprises me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
basically, if you're a public figure, I'm sort of a public figure,
right?
As a journalist and tech writer, I'm a public figure. And changes to Facebook have made it easy for public figures to sort of, you know, get their stuff out. And this is an alternative to something that exists, that still exists, the Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay.
Facebook is slowly nudging people away from the page paradigm.
Gotcha.
And towards using your regular account
okay.
in a page-like way.
So, okay. Where'd your privacy concerns go? I mean, it seems to me like, oh, they didn't, you know, that your concern was privacy.
Uh-huh.
They rolled out these features that made it more attractive, but do you still have those?
Yes,
the privacy
absolutely
concerns
still,
and
absolutely still do. It's a little tricky. Whenever I'm posting something, I have to be hyper. I have to be very, very careful about the privacy setting. There's a little pull down.
Okay.
And if I post something about an article that I wrote, I can set it to public. If I'm speaking primarily to a small group of relatives or friends,
right?
You know, there's a different setting. But Facebook, every so you know, there's supposed to be a default setting. My default setting is not public. But every so often, I'll post something, and I'll notice that the default is not the default that I set.
Yep.
It's public.
Yep.
Facebook.
That's...
Facebook creeps me the hell out. And so I personally don't use Facebook the way most other people do. I don't. About 90% of it is as a journalist. Maybe 10% of it is as a communication mechanism with friends and relatives.
Yeah.
I do very, very little of that.
Yeah.
Much less
yeah.
than other people.
Yeah.
I'm using it primarily as a journalist. And if I'm using it as a journalist, then privacy is not an issue because I'm speaking to the whole world anyway.
Right. So
you're kind of not using Facebook now how it really should be used or intended. I mean, Facebook is definitely more of a relationship tool than a, I don't know if marketing's the right word, tool, like a
promotional
tool, like Twitter is. I mean, Twitter you can feel is definitely much more promotional because they're just short bursts of information, as opposed to look at this family photo album, which Facebook is.
That's true, but Facebook is shifting. It's starting to encourage people who have public personas and private personas to use their own accounts in both ways, and it's nudging individuals away from the page. The page is now primarily for organizations, not individuals.
Right, gotcha.
And so so many people are using their Facebook accounts now as privately and also as public personas.
Okay.
But the breakdown sort of varies from individual to individual. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So then now I want to pull into the conversation Google Plus because I've noticed you spending a lot of time there as well, and posting very interesting things there, sharing things that you've seen from other people there. You seem to have a really, I think you're in Google Plus. You're an especially interesting follow because there is a nice kind of geek richness going on there. The sorts of things that you post. I think knowing you personally, I know this, but one of the things that's great about following Julio, no matter where you do it—Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus—Julio really is a geek. I mean, he's a nerd. He is an absolute, like, you know, sci-fi tech head nerd that, you know, the sort of guy who, you know, photographs little Happy Meal Thor figures in various locations and, you know, post stuff and, you know, like links to, you know, things in Klingon and, you know, I mean, all sorts of things, right? And I think that's what makes it interesting. So tell me how Google Plus is fitting into all of this and how you're using that and kind of where the balance is. You say certain things go to Twitter, certain things go to Google Plus, certain things go to Facebook. You know, what's your kind of holistic approach to that?
First, professionally, we're just talking about me professionally as a journalist right now. It's become a tripod structure. I'm using Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus almost equally professionally as a journalist.
Gotcha.
But when you set the professional part aside, just me as Julio the nerd.
Julio the nerd.
I'm feeling an enthusiasm about Google Plus that I do not feel for Facebook, partly because of the way it's designed. It feels frictionless. Facebook, there are a lot of a lot of things that make it feel forced. Like, for instance, if you post something that's, you know, quasi-blog-like, and then you want to go back and edit it,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah.
You can't update it. You can't augment. You post something, it's done. You're done. You have to move on. With Google Plus, any of your posts on Google Plus can be living documents.
Yeah.
You can post something. You can update it later. You can augment it. You can add another picture.
You can edit it. You know, make a spelling mistake. You can change it.
So Google Plus, you know, one of the reasons I like Google Plus is it's almost a blogging platform, because your posts can be as long as you like. There are no limitations. Mm-hmm. You can attach videos. You can attach pictures. Mm-hmm. You can do that on Facebook too, but it just feels easier on Google Plus. And you don't feel any friction. You don't feel any barriers. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I like Google Plus is because from the very outset, it was a place for people like nerdy, geeky, techie people like me. Mm-hmm. To hang out with each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It started that way.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook has traditionally been a place, you know, for old
friends,
high school classmates, family, and your mom and so forth. And Facebook seems to be sort of trying to nudge and force people into the let's exchange ideas kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook didn't used to be that way, and Zuckerberg and his lieutenants seem to be sort of dragging people kicking and screaming into that paradigm that existed on Facebook from the very outset.
You mean on Google Plus?
Google Plus, I'm sorry.
From the very outset.
It's a kind of a salon-like place where you know, people that have ideas to exchange and interesting things to share can do that, you know, in more of a free-form kind of a style.
Yeah. Well,
it's a place where people like Robert Scoble and so forth are just thriving because they just feel this complete freedom to share what they're thinking, what they're doing, what they're seeing. Photographers, for instance, just to give you an example, photographers are taking to Google Plus like crazy because it's a great way to share your images.
Yeah.
Photographers are active on Google Plus a way they have never been on Facebook, never will be on Facebook or Twitter.
Right.
And
it seems to me like there's a there. It seems like Google Plus is taking a lot of the lessons learned, especially about mm-hmm. privacy. Basically, the failures they've seen out there with Facebook, especially with Twitter, to a certain extent, and they are. They're leveraging those, and they are bringing an approach to privacy, the idea of circles and the idea of sharing things, you know, within these circles, and that these circles are they overlap, you know, that you can maybe share this circle with somebody else. I think that that's a really interesting concept. So I like that. But I would say the other thing that I've noticed just kind of lurking around Google Plus is there seems to be, without Google really pushing this, but it's and maybe it's just the people that I follow or in my circles, but there's a purpose, an intention that is there. It doesn't seem to me like people are just coming to just freeform, you know, hair was what I ate for breakfast sort of tool, but that they're coming to it with an idea of how they want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I want to use Google Plus. Almost as if it. I'm wondering if some of that is number one. Here's a chance now that you know when a lot of us started using Twitter or Facebook for that matter, either or. One of those things was generally kind of our first foray into social networks and social media and what, you know, and so because we didn't have any idea, we kind of went in directionless, but that now that we've had that, you know, years of experience now, with using those networks, this new one comes along that's compelling and is a blank slate. And because of that, And because it's like, we can say, oh, I wish I would have used Twitter more like this in the beginning, or I wish I would have used Facebook more like this. Mm-hmm. You can kind of bring that to this new platform and say, okay, here's how I'm going to use it. I mean, do you find that to be the case with you? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Or is it just me? I just happen to be following the right people.
And I have to be honest, Google Plus, I still don't really fully understand where it's going. I don't know what kind of a role it's going to play in my life a year from now, 5 years from now.
Right.
Facebook, the reason for Twitter, the reason for Facebook have been very clear. The rationale for Google Plus still isn't quite clear in my head. It's still a little fuzzy about where it's going. Like, for instance, I don't have very many interactions with friends on Google Plus, primarily because very few of them are on there.
Right.
Fair enough. So it's more of a public blogging platform. But on the other hand, and this is a little difficult for me to put my finger on, but I'm having fun with Google Plus primarily because it's liberating. With Twitter is very free form and very energetic, but there's the character limit.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook has traditionally been an alternative to Twitter in the sense that there are more bells and whistles. You can write more. You can post more. There are more things you can do on Facebook that you can't do on Twitter. But Facebook is badly designed. It has many privacy flaws, many structural flaws, many things that, you know, when you're doing them, you're feeling a lot of friction. When I get on Google Plus, I just feel completely liberated. There are no post-length restrictions. The features are designed in such a way that you're using them and they feel completely frictionless. Conversations that are flowing back and forth on Google Plus are of a quality that exceed similar conversations on Facebook.
Yeah, and I would imagine just due to their length on Twitter as well.
Zuckerberg, and the company, they want Facebook to be like Google Plus in that way. They want the Robert Scovels and so forth to have these free-flowing, energetic conversations. And that isn't happening on Facebook the way it is happening on Google Plus, at least not yet.
Yeah.
And so it's Facebook is not yet a place where I go to find these ideas, to find these people that are saying interesting things.
Yeah.
Google Plus is where I go for that, and also Twitter.
Right. So, I find all of this very interesting because it seems to me that I'm kind of the opposite. As I've discussed on previous episodes, I've kind of begun to pull away a bit, and I'm doing a lot more watching and a lot less sharing. I'm doing a lot more reading and a lot less conversation. I'm being a lot more intentional about what I post and a lot more careful as well. Much to Mike's chagrin, but others too, right? I think I have other friends that are, that I used to have, regular conversation and were interested in what was going on with me and with my day and things like that on Twitter, that actually have complained to me that they don't get that anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like you're almost going the other direction, that you're doubling down on this technology.
I am. Absolutely. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep, you nailed it.
And whereas, I'm deciding to hold my cards a little bit longer and be a lot more careful with my bets. You're going all in.
And specifically with Google Plus, I'm going all in for a couple of reasons. A, there's a level of engagement that I'm finding on Google Plus that I haven't found elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, if I post something on my personal blog, if I post something on my personal blog or the Pioneer Press blog or whatever, typically that doesn't trigger energetic conversations involving lots of people. Mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of other bloggers have different experiences, but in my case, if I post something on one of my traditional blogs, it rarely triggers any kind of a free-for-all or conversation or discussion.
Yeah.
Google Plus, on the other hand, it's hardly ever occurs that I'll post something and nobody responds.
Yeah.
And in many cases, 10, 20, 30 people will respond. People will plus it.
Yeah.
That's the version of the Google Plus version of liking.
Yeah.
They'll share it. You can share something.
Yeah.
You can respond to it. You can comment. Yeah. And so whenever I go to Google Plus, my little red counter thing shows like 20 shares and responses. So there's a level of enthusiasm, of engagement on Google Plus that I'm not finding elsewhere. And the other reason is my follower count is like spiking.
Huh.
At this point, I'm closing in on 6,000 followers, which is half of my Twitter.
Wow.
Follower count. And it's like it's a little bit like a drug, you know. The more so I'm saying to myself, oh, okay. So if I'm really active and interesting on Google Plus, I'll attract followers. And if I attract followers, that makes me want to be even more interesting. And it's like snowballing. And you know, an interesting thing happened. One of the
Julio, really, you took the red pill. You know that, right?
Yes. One of the interesting features on Google Plus is if you create a circle with, you know, 200, 250 people, you can share that circle with other people, and then people with one button can follow all the people in that circle.
Right.
And what happened about a week ago is Robert Scoble created two circles of tech journalists that he's following.
Right.
He divided, you know, the alphabet down the middle, had one circle from A to whatever, and
yeah.
And I was in the second circle under the O, and he shared that circle. This happened over the weekend, and he shared that circle with his Google Plus followers. And I knew that because I have my iPad set up. The Google Plus notifications are turned on, so I hear the little ding if somebody uh-huh. follows me on Google Plus.
Uh-huh.
And I was like walking up the stairs to my home office, and I
all of a sudden,
and I heard
ding,
my
ding, ding, ding,
I heard my iPad going ding 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 ding. I was like, holy crap! And it's like I went from 3,000 followers to 6,000 followers.
Yes.
And it's still going up. It's just
Julio. You know, I say this with love, but. You know that ding sounds an awful lot like Pavlov and his dog, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay, all right. Just
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, beyond the drug-like quality of having more and more followers, there's this Latin American comic strip called Mafalda. Mafalda is essentially what you would get if you combine Peanuts with Doonesbury.
Okay.
Doonesbury-like characters that look sort of like Peanut characters.
Gotcha. Okay.
But think like Doonesbury characters. And there's this one character, Manolito, who's the he's the son of a shopkeeper.
Yeah.
And he and his father are just 100% capitalist. and Manolito was sort of describing to his friends what it's like to make the joy that he derives from making money.
Ah.
And he was saying, you know, if I get a million, that makes me want another million. And yes. If I get that many more millions, I want even more millions. As sort of at the end of the comic strip, he had emotionally just completely reeled out of control. He was like, more, more, more. That's me with
your followers.
Yeah. No, but that aside, the reason this is kind of important for me, especially professionally,
yeah,
is if I achieve a critical mass of followers,
mm-hmm.
suddenly the value becomes exponentially more important for me, because that Google Plus becomes what Twitter has long been. It's become sort of an oracle.
Mm.
I can throw out a question, and there's a almost 100% probability that someone has a useful answer for me.
Yeah.
So now Google Plus is approaching the importance of Twitter, because now both of these services, there are enough people following me that I can turn to these people for wisdom, for guidance, for answers.
Right, right.
And I'm very, very excited about that. And there's very little overlap. Most of the people following me on Google Plus are not the same people that are following me on Twitter.
Right. Well, and it seems to me that as a journalist, you also you know, it's not just about throwing out questions and getting answers. It's also about sources for stories and, people to interview and, possible angles that you haven't investigated.
Exactly. You nailed it. Yes.
And things like that, right? That it actually can really enhance your business. And I could see, I could see as well, we live in an age where, newspapers are running out of money. They're cutting staff left and right. I would imagine that to a certain extent. I mean, when you have that kind of critical mass, you become to a certain extent indispensable, because they see that as, oh my gosh, he sells papers.
I don't know about the indispensable part, but I'll make a sort of a related observation. It's very important. I tell my coworkers at the Pioneer Press this a lot. As a journalist, it's important to develop your personal brand, a brand that is portable regardless of where you're working.
Gotcha.
A brand that has value, even if you leave the Pioneer Press to go work something else.
Yeah,
it's a brand that you take with you from place to place. It's as important to nurture and develop that personal brand as it is to nurture and develop your Pioneer Press identity.
Kind of professional one, right?
And so my personal social media identity is largely used to further my Pioneer Press work, my Pioneer Press career. But at the same time, it has a level of importance that's completely separate from the paper.
Understood.
And that's why I have very intentionally created a personal social media identity that is not Pioneer Press specific.
Okay.
Because A, it doesn't like crumble if I ever leave the paper.
Right.
And B, it gives quite frankly the Pioneer Press no leverage whatsoever to say this is ours, not yours.
Right.
I know of journalists that have attached their social media identities so inextricably to their employers that when they left, they had to leave their followers behind. They had to leave the account behind and create a new account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that will not happen with me because this is mine. It is not the Pioneer Press's.
Right.
So
I'm gonna let's wrap up here because I have a lot more questions about kind of the tools that you're using to manage all of this stuff. I would imagine that people would be highly interested in that, but I want to. We'll get to that next time. So, I appreciate you being on this time, for those who are just listening, aren't going to listen to the next one. Where do you want those followers to follow you at? where should they ding?
Well, if you look for OJEZAP, regardless of the blogging platform or social media service, with the exception of Google Plus, which doesn't let you use usernames.
Yeah.
So I'm OJEZAP everywhere on Tumblr, on Flickr, on Facebook, on Twitter. Just look for OJEZAP. In fact, just go to OJEZAP.com and then look and click the Find Me button, and then you'll
find all
find everything. Yeah.
All right. Terrific. Well, thanks a lot for being on, and
this was a really fun conversation. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you, Michael, as always.
No problem. I've enjoyed listening.
All right. We'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.